Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
We got one.
Here's John Williams.
Coming into the newsroom in just a second. This is John. Hi, how are you? Happy holidays. Welcome to the show. We're here weekdays from 9 to noon.
Lord have mercy.
Dropped another podcast on you, our Mincing Rascals podcast, wherever you get finer podcasts. It's free, you know. We went about an hour and ended with a Christmas song. The Mincing Rascals kicked around some of the stories we kick around here and takes the time to talk in greater depth about some stories we don't have time here. One of the stories that we're certainly covering at WGN Radio News is developing. What's going on, Steve?
The House Judiciary Committee, you hear the room noise there in the background, has just voted on these articles of impeachment. Both of the articles voted on separately. The first, abuse of power, passed 23-17 along party lines. The obstruction of Congress article of impeachment also passed 23-17. With these votes now, these articles of impeachment now move out of this committee onto the full House for a vote probably next week.
Talk about elections have consequences. You could say, well, the president gets to appoint Supreme Court justices, but that the House controls some of these bodies now, that the Democrats control some of these House committees, that's why it goes that way. What a coincidence. All the Democrats voted one way, and all the Republicans voted another. I was watching on CNN, and you've never seen a grimmer-looking bunch than the Republicans marching out of the hall after the vote. And the Democrats looked serious, but they didn't look as bad as the Republicans did. I noticed that one of the legislators had a child sitting in her lap or his lap. I mean, I'm not sure exactly who that kid was with, but it was looked like a 10, 11-year-old boy. The same way you bring maybe your kids into the voting polling place when you go to vote and you want them to be part of that civic thing. It looks like one of the kids was like, bring your kid to work. I want you to know this is what we do here, son.
This will be a dramatic moment of history for that kid. This is, you know, the president now becomes on the path to be the third president, only the third president
only
in U.S.
the
history.
Third. Yeah. Yeah, right. It's 9:14. This is WGN. John Williams here. In about a half an hour, we'll talk to this guy who wrote an article, and I've noticed one in Business Insider. This is a gentleman's magazine, not a girly picture magazine. I think it's called Gentleman's Gazette. And in it, they do a series of articles, Is It Worth It? And one of the things, so they've done Rolex watches and Louis Vuitton bags. The latest thing they've looked at are those Canada Goose jackets that are everywhere, and those will cost you about $1,000. I was shocked last time I was at Nordstrom to see how much floor space they've given to those jackets, and they run a security wire through them because it's such a hot commodity.
Saw a family of like four, mom, dad, and two little kids all wearing them.
They're swell jackets. I think they're lovely. I think they look cool. I think they come in various colors. The patches are in different places. But it's that patch people want. Mm-hmm. And so they said, okay, that's a fashion statement. You get to have that. But what about the quality of the jacket? Is there $1,000 in there? We'll do that at 9:35. We watch those movies, and we love those movies, and we roll our eyes at those movies. The Hallmark Channel has still not decided that real snow would be a good investment for their Christmas films, or even good fake snow would be a good investment. And, you know, it's Hallmark movies, so sometimes they have themes in the movies where a Christmas card plays a pivotal role.
So is that the one with the small-town doctor, the big-time doctor that comes to the small town to help the family and then doesn't want to move back to the big town because they fall in love?
And he's single.
Okay.
A lot of these guys, their wives have died early. They're not divorced. And they don't drink as much wine in these towns as we do in mine. I'll tell you what, the alcohol consumption on the Hallmark Channel, not what I'm used to at the holidays. And then they have the people of color who have these not pivotal roles. They haven't fully integrated the 21st century into the Hallmark Channel. By the way, half hour from now, maybe 15 minutes from now, we'll talk about Canada Goose jackets and other luxury brands. Are they worth it? Specifically, those coats. You made an interesting point. You saw a family of four walking down the street. What were the age of the kids?
So I would say they're probably like 6 and 7, maybe?
So if I buy my 6 and 7-year-old, now maybe the 6-year-old will grow into the 7-year-old's
yeah,
jacket.
Yeah, but the 7-year-old, come
that's on. That's a $1,000 coat that they're not going to use in yeah, 2 years.
Exactly. It's just, you know, you're getting it for one winter.
Well, I'm trying not to judge.
No,
in fact, I'm not judging, but I am amazed. Let's just put it that way.
They're good-looking jackets.
They're good-looking jackets. That's a good-looking jacket. It's 921. This is WGN. Speaking of good-looking people, Peter Greenberg is the travel guru you see across the country and hear often on this radio station. Peter, how are you? Good morning.
And good morning to you, sir.
What warm tropical locale did we find you in today, sir?
Well, don't get too jealous. I'm here only for the next 3 hours. I'm in the Cayman Islands.
Is that travel or business or, you know, pleasure or business or both?
It's work. It's work doing our radio show down here and also reporting on a lot of the issues that we did this morning, actually on CBS this morning.
You are going to be part of the WGN radio family. Your travel show is going to run on our little station here starting this weekend. I suppose you knew about that, right?
Yes, it was not lost on me, and I'm very happy to do it.
Elif just whispered in my ear, "Hey, dummy, it started last week." And what is the time? What is the time? And I think you are on Sunday at 4. So, Elif, help me out here. Tomorrow 4 to 6.
I believe I am. Yeah, it's tomorrow 4 to 6. Yes.
Tomorrow four to six.
Yeah.
Tomorrow 4 to 6.
Absolutely.
So I presume it's travel tips and news and stuff like that.
Well, it's more than. The last thing I think the audience wants me to tell them is the beautiful, you know, Bermuda or lovely London. It's all about the process of travel. You know, which airline has the best and worst maintenance, which hotel's got the best and worst security system, which cruise ship, I'm down here on a cruise ship now, is telling the truth about.
No kidding.
Things that people need to know before they ever go. Which airline frequent flyer program is lying to you? You know, that's really what, you know, you and I have talked about this on the air before. So this is the kind of stuff that makes travel the largest industry in the world as front page news. This morning on CBS, we talked about the terrible accident in New Zealand with the volcano erupting on that island and what passenger rights really are and who's liable in a situation like this. Things you need to know.
Yeah, I saw the video of that, and we're certainly familiar with the story of the volcano and the people who lost their lives or were horribly burned. A family of four from Chicago has evidently perished. I know the news was the two boys had died. The parents were missing. I don't know off the top of my head if the parents have been announced as having died as a result of that. Did the volcanic ash actually hit the boat? Were people on the ship itself burned?
No, nothing happened on the boat. Nothing happened on the boat that took them there. This is really quite confined, but rather intense. And, of course, because of the intensity, there have been no rescue or recovery operations even possible.
Oh, wow.
And they may not have that opportunity for quite some time.
Hmm. Is there any travel advice you have for people who are going to travel around, say, between now and the end of the year, now and New Year's? Am I out of luck trying to get a good deal on an airplane ticket anywhere?
Actually, you're not out of luck, and I'll tell you why. Because of the power of the U.S. dollar, because of the concerns over Brexit, and even the perception of the United States' immigration policy, fewer foreigners are coming to the United States. And because of the trade war with China, fewer Chinese. And what that means is what would have been their return tickets home now become our outbound tickets there. A lot of empty seats on international flights. Airfares are at almost historic lows on overseas flights. And what that means is, we just did a cost comparison last week, it's now cheaper to fly in some cases from New York to Paris than it is from New York to Boston. And so, you know, if you're looking to have a wonderful winter getaway, now's the time to start thinking about overseas. And those airfares, by the way, are not going to just be seasonal. Based on what we've seen in the trends, they could exist all the way through the second quarter of next year.
What if I'm flying to St. Louis, Dallas, Los Angeles, Ohio, something like that?
Well, then start thinking alternate airports. So, for example, Midway instead of O'Hare, Providence instead of Boston, Oakland instead of San Francisco, Burbank instead of Los Angeles, and the secret airport back in New York, Islip instead of JFK or LaGuardia, you might find some better deals.
You mentioned Chinese travelers to the United States during the holidays. The last few years, my family and I were downtown. We've been downtown in Chicago every Thanksgiving for the last 20 years. And we have noticed in the last five or so years, maybe 10, but every Thanksgiving, the number of Chinese shoppers on stores on Michigan Avenue, it's more than Chicagoans. It's more than Americans. It's amazing, the Asian influx, particularly during Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. Can you explain that to me?
Very simple. They equate travel with shopping and the opportunity for retail experience. You know, we're looking at retail in this country is almost dying. In New York City right now, if I were to walk from 42nd Street up to 86th Street on Madison Avenue, I'm not exaggerating, John, every third store is closed. It's empty. It's vacant. It's a scary thought. But when it comes to shopping, and by the way, the United States is not particular to this. You go to Paris.
Yes.
The Asian shoppers are everywhere. They're lining up at the Louis Vuitton store at 8 o'clock in the morning. They're lining up. And the craziest thing, if you really want to have some fun, is when you're leaving a foreign country where they have a VAT, you know, the value-added tax refund, and you go to the airport at Charles de Gaulle, there is a line out the door with Asian shoppers holding wads of receipts to get their VAT back. So this is still going on.
I got to tell you, I'm not a big traveler, but about once a year, Brenda and I lead a cruise of WGN radio listeners, either with Kelly Cruises. We're going to do a great trip next October. Visit kellycruises.com. Or we do a trip with my colleague, Steve Bertrand. Visit stevebertrandtravel.com. Last year, we were in France with some listeners. We were in Paris. And I'm telling you, inside the department store, there was a queue of Asians lined up in the department store waiting to get into the Louis Vuitton area. And Brenda turned to me or whoever we were with, and she goes, you know, we need to worry about the Russians maybe as Americans, but the Chinese have a lot of dollars. They have a lot of discretionary money. They're spending
they
it. And I mean, you just had this moment. You go, wow, they are in play, Jack. They have all of the money right now.
Well, I'll give you the wow. I was at the Charles de Gaulle when they opened up their new terminal about 2.5 years ago, and they asked me if I'd like to go see the terminal. I said, sure, I'd like to go. I got there, and they said, we want to show you our duty-free store. I go, really? Why do I want to? Okay. And I walk in the duty-free store, and they say, look over there behind that glass wall. And I look, I said, what's that? I said, you need to go in there. Okay. I open up the door to go in. It's a locked door. They had to open it for me. And in that room were unbelievably expensive bottles of wine. Now, no, I don't know about you, John. I don't go to the airport to buy wine. But forgetting that, the cheapest bottle of wine in there was about $800. And it was loaded with travelers from Asia. And they're buying like it's, you know, six packs of Corona.
Yeah.
I asked them, and then I got back and I said, wow, I didn't know the Chinese were buying so much wine. I said, no, you got it all wrong. The Chinese are buying wineries. So if you take a look at the ownership of the French wineries all the way through that country, in Italy as well, at least 8 to 10% of those wineries are now owned by Chinese companies.
I guess I don't care, right? I mean, if I'm a retailer and people are buying my products, if I'm a company selling purses or wines or watches or jackets, I just want people to buy them. I guess if I was a politician, maybe this should concern me. But as an American, does this upset me in any way, Peter?
You know what? It shouldn't. Look, people are in business to sell their products.
Yeah.
And they figured out the markets that are going to support that. The problem is when those markets then dictate what you and I can buy. And that's where you have to figure out, is there a balance there?
Yeah, right.
But in principle alone, we shouldn't have a problem with that.
That's an interesting point. Well, this isn't all travel talk. It's all kinds of interesting talk. Peter Greenberg joins the WGN Radio family with his travel show. You may have heard it last weekend. I want you to listen for it Saturday at 4 here on WGN Radio. I'm going to call you more often, Peter. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll take calls next time. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, John. Have a great Friday.
Happy travels to Peter Greenberg. I thought that the ash actually rained on that ship and that the people on board were also getting burned, but obviously that's not the case. He said it was more isolated than that, but that was just an awful disaster. I appreciate his reporting and thoughts on that, too. 941 WGN, John Williams here, that expert on the value of the jackets we're wearing in about 5 minutes. By the way, I was just talking to a guy off the air who said, yeah, I can jump on the air with you in the 10 o'clock hour, about an hour from now. Do you know the equation for calculating the age of your dog?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, it's 14 years for the first year, and then 7 years every year thereafter. 6 years every year thereafter.
I never even heard that. I always went seven times seven, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
A three-year-old dog is 21, et cetera. But a one-year-old dog, Jen, you're saying is 14.
Yeah, because they turn into an ornery teenager by the time they hit 1 year old. And then
after that, the aging slows down.
About an average of 6 years, per human year.
So there's some guys with, white lab coats and pocket protectors, and they've been looking at this. And the new research says kind of what you're doing, but okay. It's even more dramatic. They say that your dog at the age of one, that is after 12 months of life, is 30.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
And then it slows down so that at the age of two, they're 35. By the age of four, they're like 48. But that's interesting to me because if you're going to sort of tend to your dog's diet or activities or exercise or whatever, know that whatever you felt like at 35, that's about where your dog is at their first birthday. And it's their puppies say, or they're still young and rambunctious. And hey, when you were 35, you were young and rambunctious, but you weren't 18 anymore. Now were you, Bucky?
No.
So life is slowing down a little bit. But then dogs' aging process, they say, slows down. So what does that mean to you and me? And how long is your dog going to live as a result of all of this 1 hour from now?
You know, my last pup lived till 15 and a half years. And she was a pit bull, so she was a pretty big dog.
Wow.
And they say, you know, larger dogs hit geriatric or senior by age seven.
Yeah, I believe that.
So she lived another 8.5 years. She lived more than half of her life as a senior dog.
Wow.
So, yeah, what you're saying, it makes sense.
I kind of wonder then, you know, about the quality of life and what is it reasonable to expect your dog to do and stuff like that. Daisy, the Dizzy Dapple Dachshund that we have living at our house, that is, we live at her house, is, what is she, Brenda, about 12 or something like that? We got her as a rescue. We're not clear.
Yeah.
But she's pretty spry for a 12-year-old. You know, she'll jump off the sofa and we all go, no, don't jump off the sofa.
Especially with little legs and
a long back. It's like, how can I snap my spine? I know I'll leap from a surface three times my own height.
Oh, gosh.
The dogs just sail off the sofa. Whoa!
Yeah. I have a Daisy now, too, who's also a long dog. She's a corgi.
Ah.
We need to get our daisies together at some point. But
One other note about dogs. Michael Vick, who we all know had a conviction, he went to jail for animal abuse, is now going to be the honorary captain. He's out of football, but he got back into football. Then he retired with a $100 million contract, and now he's going to march onto the field for the Pro Bowl and serve as a mentor and sort of assistant coach at the Pro Bowl this year. And people like my friend Steve Dale, who does a pet show here at WGN Radio, and over 500,000 other Americans have signed petitions. They are upset about Vic as the Pro Bowl captain. Of course, I see it both ways because I'm a middle child. I think what he did was horrible, but maybe we should allow people to redeem themselves. And Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, says he has done everything you could ask him to do. Okay, that's the news click. So should he be the captain of the Pro Bowl? Andy, go.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of like you. I mean, I kind of see
yes
it on
or
both
no.
sides. I'm going to say yes or no.
Jen, you're going to say no?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I will say that's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
We'll talk more about that a little later on. Next Wednesday, we're going to do our big holiday hoo-ha for the Salvation Army. Spend a couple of hours on this show starting in the 10 o'clock hour, and we'll tell you more about the Salvation Army. We'll raise a lot of money for them. We'll have some fun. I may give out candy canes. Jen, you did a report about where Salvation Army kettle money goes, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to go out and talk with a bunch of volunteers that were packing the 10,000 food boxes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for the Salvation Army, it's actually where the red kettle money goes. They collect this money, and a lot of food is donated from different companies like Stampede Meat and Topco Associates that are both local and the Greater Chicago Food Depository, but a lot of it's actually purchased. And so those red kettles will provide the money to purchase the food for meals for 10,000 families across Chicago.
You can go to WGNRadio.com. click on the John Williams page. There's an easy way to click right now to my virtual kettle. And then we'll celebrate more on Wednesday. We're looking for $35,000 from you and from me. And we're about a tenth of the way there. Lou Manfredini, David Hochberg, some of my friends insist that we'll get there. That's a Christmas miracle every year. I'm always skeptical. I hope you can help. By the way, speaking of Christmas and things that people are giving and getting, I have a list of some of the most popular gifts people are giving this year. This is from the USA Today, 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 Today. And you know something that's still on the list is the Instapot Duo. Those Instapots were huge last year. Where it is, a lot of folks are still giving them this year. Robot vacuums remain a very popular category. AirPods. They like those, according to USA Today. Their consumer researchers said that the wireless earbuds AirPods are really good. The Nintendo Switch is a hot gaming experience. Weighted blankets.
Those are awesome.
So funny, that's the thing now.
I've never been underneath one. That's pretty swell, huh? Learn more about your heritage with DNA testing. I think that's amazing. I do not want anybody to spend money on my DNA testing kit, though. Do you have a weighted blanket, Ms. Garris?
No, I don't. I don't want one, but my best friend has one, and it's always on the couch. So whenever I want to move it to where so I can sit down, it's like I'm holding a weight.
It's like a sack of potatoes.
Yes.
Well, it's like the Thunder shirt for dogs, I think.
Yeah, well, that's. I don't know if we've tried one for Daisy because she's been skittish over the years. She's better now, but our rescue dog sure needs that when it's thundering or when there's fireworks going off. I don't know if it works for human beings that way. I think it maybe just keeps you cozier.
I end up putting multiple blankets on me for that weight. So I should just invest in one weighted blanket.
John, I think the real one of the real purposes is a sense of comfort of like being enclosed by it. And it doesn't keep you warmer. It keeps you embraced.
How about that? I didn't realize that. Speaking of embracing you, so then what about these Canada Goose jackets? According to Gentleman's Gazette, they did an article called Canada Goose Jackets, Is It Worth It? Sven Raphael Schneider was the author of this piece. Sven, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm awesome. How are you?
So tell me, are they worth it? Those Canada Goose jackets cost about $1,000. My understanding is they were worn by the Canadian Patrol for years and still are. They're still made in Canada, and they run upwards of $1,000, even more depending on the one you get. What did you all conclude?
You're quite right. I think the most expensive jacket is just shy of $1,600. The jacket that most city girls would wear, the Emory Parka, for example, is around $1,000. And it has a nice, you know, polyester shell. I would say overall, it's a good quality parka. But ironically, that one uses just duck down, which is inferior to goose down and the namesake. And there was a time when, you know, they made jackets for L.L. Bean and Eddie Bauer. And then Danny Reese came in. And as a new founder, has said, no, we're going to produce in Canada. So obviously, that's more expensive. So, you know. That costs more.
Oh,
they also use real coyote collars on their hood, and that costs money too.
Noticed that in your article, you said that the coyotes are ethically harvested in Canada. I don't know if that's any consolation to the coyotes, but that's real coyote fur, right, on the trim of the jackets.
Exactly. It's real. And, you know, personally, I doubt that you can sustainably trap coyotes.
Right.
And I'm sure there are other people who would agree with me on that one. What it does, though, it helps to keep your face warmer because the wind won't attack your face as much. So you will prevent frostbite when it's extremely cold outside.
You were talking to me off the air yesterday about the zipper. I mean, so the red badge on the front or on the sleeve is the iconic status symbol. I think some of the price is baked into that right there, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they started, they were a small company, and Danny Reese took over in 2001, and then they came to Europe, and they were really popular there, and they realized they could charge more. And when I did the review, which was, you know, in January of 2019, of this jacket, at Emory Parka, it cost $995. Today, it costs $1,050. So they constantly increase the price because they know they can, and they're so popular, they're flying off the shelf, And the zipper they use, for example, right, we looked at everything very closely, is a YKK zipper that you can find on Amazon for $6. So the ingredients that are in the parka are of, I would say, average to good quality, right? The overall product is good, but the value is such that you pay a lot for the brand.
I wonder if it's possible to answer this question then. I wonder if it wasn't the red patch, if it wasn't that brand, what that would retail for. Labor, ingredients, fashion, it's a pretty jacket, but it's not Canada Goose. I wonder what that would go for in the market otherwise.
Well, you know, if you look at other brands like North Face, for example, they have a jacket that they call the McMurdo Parka 3, which looks somewhat similar. I know retails around $330 to $370. Now, it has goose down with a lower fill power. Fill power is kind of, it says, you know, if you have a 500 fill power or a 600 fill power, it means that the down takes up 600 cubic inches per 30 grams, or it's about an ounce. And ideally, you want a higher fill power. That means your jacket is going to be lighter in weight versus the, for example, the Emery Parka is a 625 fill power, but goes down, and it's quite heavy. And personally, for my taste, it was too heavy. And something that really bugged me was actually when I walked, the chafing sound of the nylon, you know, it made me feel like a construction worker.
Well, it's not like 85% polyester. Yeah, right. I'm out of time. I needed to spend more time with you. Let's budget a little more next time. You do a series of articles about, is it worth it, right? You've done Rolex watches, Louis Vuitton bags, stuff like that, correct?
Exactly. Iconic items like a Burberry trench coat. And we just, you know, we wear them, we test them, we look at historic pieces, new pieces, and just say, hey, this is good for those people. And just like with this jacket, I think, you know, if you like the cut of it, and you get a good quality product, you don't get crap, just be aware you pay a lot of money for it.
Canada Goose Jackets, is it worth it, from Gentleman's Gazette. They have a video where they actually show how all of that works, and I'll give you the website for that after WGN Radio News. Raphael, thanks for your time. Well done. This is WGN. Good morning. John Williams here. The yeas 23, the nays 17. Coincidentally, that's the same ratio as Democrats to Republicans on that Judiciary Committee. Huh. Wow. So the president's impeachment process moves forward. After 14 hours of fruitless debate yesterday, they were where they started. The votes go along party lines. So we'll keep you posted on all of that. Dow is down 12 points right now. Back and forth, as Orion said, on this China talks. What does it mean? We'll eventually see. But now it's back up 12. So in the time it took me to say that, it swung 24 points. Steve, you want me to follow it this way? I could do play-by-play of the
markets. Well, I mean, it was up a lot more earlier today, I believe. It's one of those weird things that, I mean, this seems to be about the most definitive announcement from the White House that there is a deal.
Yeah, right.
But there doesn't seem to have been much reaction on Wall Street to it. They react to every other time there's a tweet or anything.
That is so interesting. And we had it drop 200 and then recover 200 this week. Now maybe they're just like Orion said, yeah, we'll wait and see. Just,
we'll believe it when we can trade it.
Really? When the price of my dishes, jackets, and coats drop, then yeah, maybe so. Speaking of those coats, by the way, somebody texted in and said they bought a Canada Goose jacket and said it said made in China on it. But the reporting is that that's not the case, that they definitively say the coats are made in Canada. That's the brand. That's the label. That's what you're paying extra for besides the red patch.
Uh-oh, where'd you buy it? That's the question I'd ask.
Oh, because maybe it's a counterfeit.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right, right. I mean, really, at that price, I'll make some counterfeits. I'm just going to sell red patches on Michigan Avenue. Are you kidding me?
That's all we need, really. Just throw it on one of our other coats.
North Face or whatever. Yeah. Dennis, you're on WGN. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I was over down on Michigan Avenue, and I went to the Canada Goose store,
yeah,
which is just west of the water tower,
mm-hmm.
that little courtyard area.
Yeah,
and I walked in and I saw what looked like a very smart looking. It was not a jacket. It was not a long coat. It was a mid length coat. It could have worked as a suit, as over a suit.
Oh, I see.
But it was a beautiful looking coat, and it also had a reversible inner jacket hoodie. And it looked great, and it worked great, and it felt very comfortable. It was $2,695. So
for that, you could fly to Florida every time it gets cold.
Absolutely. I mean, it blew my mind. I smiled at her, and I said, that's really pricey. She said, oh, yeah, they're really selling.
That's really expensive, and yeah, they're really selling, and yeah, I really believe that. As a person who spends a lot of time walking the streets of Chicago downtown, I see them constantly. When I'm standing at the L with a bunch of young working people who are not making a lot of money, I have no idea what people are making, but they're young working people living in the city, a lot of them sharing apartments and condos, and that's the most popular brand I see.
They're still buying Image. It's amazing. I could not afford to buy it.
And I'm back and forth on this because I try not to pass judgment. I drove a BMW once. Okay, that makes about as much sense as buying a Canada Goose jacket. If you have I don't have a Rolex watch. I'm thinking of luxury brands. You know,
Louis Vuitton.
Right. In fact, by the way, Louis Vuitton in that Gentleman's Gazette magazine where they do the "Is it worth it?" They did Louis Vuitton, and they said Louis Vuitton, forget about it.
What
you're paying for cloth? I mean, just literally, a Louis Vuitton bag is very expensive. It's functional, but there's nothing in the labor or materials that justify the price.
The Italian leather?
Well, okay.
Italian leather.
Italiano leather.
Now, maybe some of them have that, but
What is the price of buying Image?
I think that's a good question, and here's my answer to that. If it makes you happy, then it makes you happy. Like, you can spend $1,000 to make yourself happy any way you want. And if $1,000 on a Canada Goose jacket makes you happy, I'm not going to judge that. Now, you'll have to compromise in other areas. You might eat ramen noodles for a while, but that's that's your call, you know.
You know, you guys mentioned they're popular and people are buying them. And, you know, this is probably the worst day to judge. But Black Friday, I was out in the field and my story was covering Michigan Avenue for Black Friday and what people were buying. And the Canada Goose store had three adults and a child waiting outside for it. Whereas, like Nordstrom Rack and all the other stores, Columbia, they had very long lines. Now, Canada Goose probably didn't have any Black Friday sales, but I was kind of shocked that there wasn't a ton of people that
were
waiting for it.
Did they have a sale? Were they discounting them at that store?
I did not walk in to find out.
Yeah.
I would think if there was a discount.
When I was there, I did not see any nice red 60% off, like at Kohl's.
The 2000 wasn't a markdown.
But
yeah, I was going to say, did you even see a sale rack
on
like,
the upside? It was $3,000 last week.
Okay.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you joining us, Dennis. And you know, look, what do we do with Apple products? When's the last time Apple was blowing out iPads or phones? They don't do that either.
No.
Although I guess you could argue that that's worth every bit of the $600 or whatever you're going to spend on one of those items. He said Rolex watches, super premium, and at the end of the day, it tells time as well as a swatch. But he said when you go to sell a used Rolex, if you choose to, you'll get your money back, whereas if you go to sell a Canada Goose jacket, you won't. Okay.
See, I think like those Apple watches, they can make phone calls. Those are worth more. More than a Rolex.
I call my 90-year-old dad, and he answers on his smartwatch.
Oh, wow.
He goes, John, I'm speaking to my wrist. How are you? Michael Vick's story is really interesting. It's going to be our news click. I'll talk a little bit more about that with you in a couple of minutes. Before I do so, though, Jen and I mentioned that on Wednesday we're going to do our big holiday hoo-ha for our friends at the Salvation Army. They do the most good year-round. They try and raise all the money to do that this time of year. We have an online virtual goal in my kettle of $35,000. We're at about $3,500. We're about 10% there right now. Producer Elif, would you look for us, please, and give us the exact total? You can go to WGNradio.com, click on the John Williams page, and make a donation right now. Some folks have given $5. Some have given $100. Look at this. We're going to get a nice donation from the folks at Papa Nicholas. Talk about a Chicago institution. In fact, Michelle Vento is here. She's the marketing director of Papa Nicholas. Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Good. How are you, John? It's so good to be here.
By the way, we're not supposed to talk to him, but I'm going to anyway. Nick is sitting right next to you. How are you, Nick? What's your last name, Nick?
Papa Nicholas. I'm the grandson of the founder.
Well, congratulations. So is there really a Papa Nicholas?
Yeah.
And your name is Nick. Is the last name of the family Nicholas? No.
It's Papa Nicholas, Nicholas Papa Nicholas.
Oh, yeah, his grandson's name was Nicholas Papa Nicholas.
So we're going by the first name. So you carry the family name then as well. Yep. Are you in the family business too?
No.
No.
I'm still in school.
Oh, really? You're going to school. You look like you're old enough to be a young working professional in the coffee biz.
I wish.
Well, it's sure been successful and popular brand.
I don't know. We'll see.
So are you guys just in Chicago or are you everywhere?
Yeah. So we're kind of a regional brand. We have a lot of Midwest loyalty, but we're expanding outside of the Midwest pretty rapidly. And we're hoping to bring our coffee to everyone, even though we are a Chicago brand.
What do you sell more of? Like retail to people who cook it at home, or do you do more like we do here? We have the machine and I drink the Papa Nicholas all day long.
Yeah, so like we have tons of service sectors. We do offices, we do convenience stores, a lot of local restaurants. We also sell grocery to online retailers, and we really have an ability to reach a lot of different markets.
There's some lousy coffee out there.
Then
when you get a really good cup of coffee at work,
you know it.
I don't have to spend what other people are spending down the street because it's right there.
Absolutely.
At least that's our setup here at the radio station. And by the way, our Papa Nicholas here is free to the employees. I don't know who's paying
you
for it.
You got so lucky.
I shouldn't even say that because if they hear that, somebody upstairs is going to go or downstairs is going to go, I'll cut that cost. But I'm telling you, it's a great luxury. It's a great perk for us here because we sure enjoy the coffee
Absolutely.
All day long.
I'm so glad.
Oh, I am too. In fact, shortly after we came to Chicago, somebody gave us a pound of that and said, you're in Chicago? This is the coffee to drink.
It absolutely is.
Papa Nicholas. Yeah. By the way, you guys are making a donation for my virtual kettle. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. We love partnering with local organizations and feeding back into our local community. It's awesome.
It sounds like, I don't know, I don't want to say cliche because I think if you do it, then it's quite sincere. But I think local businesses in the Chicago area that have a real brand, have a real footprint here, really do contribute back to a lot of organizations.
You have to.
I think you do. And I think it's not only smart from a business standpoint, but I think you guys must also feel almost a sense of obligation. Like this is what a responsible civic partner does, right?
It does. Sure. And for the city that we love. You know, we love Chicagoland. We've been here for so long. And just any way that we can partner and give back, it really is our obligation as citizens here to do that.
I'm going to put $1,000 from you guys in my virtual kettle. Is
Absolutely.
That correct?
That, yep.
Nick, you're paying attention to all of this, right?
Yes.
What are you studying, by the way?
Studying communications and minoring in film.
Film? Oh, no kidding. Really? You want to be a filmmaker?
Maybe.
We'll see. You do a documentary about the family business. How many generations does it go back then? Is it your grandfather's? Is that where it started?
Yep.
Yeah. So what year? Is there a year of origination off the top of your head you guys know?
He founded Papa Nicholas Coffee Company in the 80s, but his family and Nick's family has actually been roasting and blending coffee for 100 years now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it's really in their blood. It's a legacy. Mm-hmm.
Sure is in Chicagoland. Okay, we'll ring the register with your name on it on Wednesday.
Awesome.
Thank you both for coming in, and congratulations. Continued success with Papa Nicholas.
Thank you so much. Enjoy. We're so glad you love the coffee.
We sure do, and that's what we're talking about on Wednesday. We're going to do a lot of talking about the Salvation Army, our virtual kettle, and some of the great community partners like Papa Nicholas that are going to make donations. We hope you can too. But remember, you can do it right now as well. John Williams at WGNRadio.com. Oh, I was supposed to read this a little while ago too. Micah Mateer, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, for TV News at 10. Watch Chicago's very own WGN TV News. The Michael Vick story is interesting to me, and it really wasn't on my mind, but somebody sent me a text and they said, hey, did you see Rex Chapman's story in the Tribune, Steve Chapman's story in the Tribune yesterday? Michael Vick deserves our forgiveness. Here's how he started it. It's hard to exaggerate the viciousness of what Michael Vick did. Justice requires that we remember. Justice required that Vick pay a heavy price. But there is a case to be made for a measure of mercy. Does it make sense to set aside his ugly past for a moment to honor his exploits as a player? Remember, Vic is going to be the honorary captain of the Pro Bowl team. That means nothing to you or me, but it does mean that the NFL is going to hold him up as an exemplar, as somebody that the other players in the league should relate to and be proud of. He's going to mentor the team and, you know, be the assistant coach on the sidelines. But if you're putting his face on your product, then that means you are with him. And Rex Chapman's, I keep saying Rex, I'm thinking of another columnist named Rex, Steve Chapman said, does it make sense to set aside his ugly past? My feeling, he writes, as someone who has had three dogs, each of them rescued, is that the answer is yes. 815 texted in and said, hey, hi, John, I think it's time to leave Vic alone. He paid fines. He did the time. He speaks out against animal abuse. Is there no longer forgiveness and redemption?
I mean, what else do you want him to do? What else could he do?
I know. Well, somebody else said, so do you want him to go back to dog fighting? I mean, if you don't give him a chance to earn a living and go back to a normal life, what are you saying here? What do you want the guy to do?
I think that the whole premise, though, and the argument is that kind of what separates us as human beings from other animals is our way to have compassion and our empathy for other living creatures. And when you participate in something such as dog fighting, you remove that. And so I think what people are looking for is to see that there was a like spiritual deep down change where the way he looks at other life has some value.
So why don't you use some of that human compassion toward him and say that he has done that?
Exactly. And that could very well be the case.
He went to jail for 18 months.
Why he should have a chance. And, you know, but I see both sides of the argument, too. And that's probably, that's where I feel the people are coming from who are saying no.
Well, I believe this, too. I mean, 815 said, no, he should not be the honorary captain. He viciously abused dogs. If he could be that cruel, there's no way he's changed. I don't think you change a person that does that, but I think you can change their behavior. I mean, I think whatever the bone is inside that guy's body that was willing to beat and kill and bet on fighting dogs, I don't know that classes are going to fix that. But you can fix their behavior. You can make them a better citizen. And maybe we should hold them up as that. I don't know if Michael Vick has changed. I don't know that I need to care. But I do know that he's spoken out. He's an advocate now for anti-animal abuse campaigns. You know, he's done everything that we've asked him to do to change his behavior. I don't have to like him. I don't have to like it. But he is doing that, and maybe that's sufficient. Maybe that's a lot. Maybe that's pretty good. Tina, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi, you're on the air.
Maybe that.
Tina. Okay, Tina's still listening to us in the background. She'll pick it up in just a minute. That's our news click, too. We're going to make that at WGNradio.com, the news click, and that is he gets to be captain. He doesn't get to be captain. Jen DeSalvo is going to say he gets to be captain. I think Steve's on that team. Andy and I were kind of scratching our heads. I think I'm going to say he gets to be captain, too. I think that's where I'm going to go on that as well. Okay, we'll pause here. WGN Radio News. Steve Bertrand's going to do that. Also, a little later in the show, how to calculate your dog's age. They've changed that. Not a dog-themed show today, but two topics in a row with the same sort of subject, and that is they've sort of recalculated how old your dog is. And the age of your dog after 1 year is amazing to me. Should we forgive Michael Vick? Let him be the captain of the Pro Bowl team? You don't care about him being captain of the Pro Bowl team. I don't either, but you get the point. Should the NFL stamp approval upon him? 708 said no. 847 said hell no. 847 said abusing animals is a sign of a very sick mental health diagnosis. You cannot fix somebody like that. 630 said what he did was horrible, but he has redeemed himself. Hey, Tom, you wanted to say what? You're on WGN. How are you, Tom?
Good, Jen. You know, I'm just calling in about the Michael Vick conversations you got going.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, this is probably part of his childhood and how he was raised and his family and his family's friends, and they all grew up around us, and this is what he knew as life. And I just think he does need a chance, needs to be closely monitored. As far as the Pro Bowl, no. You know, just let it go for now. Give it more time. It sounds like a lot of the listeners are still thinking of, you know, now. And he just needs more time for people to absorb what's going on. But I just think it's part of his childhood and how he was raised. And it's all he knows. And it's right in his, it was at the time, it was right in his mind.
And if it wasn't right in his mind, I think you're right about it, which is it's part of the DNA of some people who are raised to think this is something I want to do, I can make money on. Even when he had money, it's not like he needed the cash. He was doing it when he was in the NFL. He had a great estate. Remember the pictures of the lawn and the house and then the kennel in the back and the cage? He didn't need the cash. He must have enjoyed the sport or the company of the people that were doing it. This goes back to 2007 when he was convicted for illegal dog fighting. He served 18 months in federal prison after admitting then that he had participated in illegal dog fighting, killing dogs, and operating a business enterprise that involved illegal gambling. He was suspended indefinitely from the NFL until the Philadelphia Eagles signed him in 2009, 2 years later. His 6-year $100 million contract with the team then made him one of the league's highest paid professionals. He retired from football in 2017. Thanks for the call, Tom. Appreciate you joining us. Mike, jump in there. What did you want to say? You're on the air. How are you, Mike?
Hi. Thanks, John. Great show as always. No,
thank you,
I'm sorry to say I'm against him being kind of celebrated at this point. Mike, you said it exactly what I was thinking. He made a good salary as a professional athlete. And there was no reason to have a side hustle, if that's what the kids are calling it nowadays, back then, especially with cruelty. And the only reason he's redeeming is because by law, by the court, by his settlement, he has to. I don't know the guy. I'll be judged for my thoughts. But I still feel sometimes where there's a stigma when you abuse pets, animals, children, the defenseless people of the world, you carry that stigma. That's your scarlet letter. And you can be redeemed in other ways, but not to be glorified. Sorry.
Interesting point. Wow, Mike, thanks for the phone call. We go from you now to Terry. You're on WGN. Hi, Terry, you're on the air. What do you want to say?
Well, John, I agree with the last caller. I don't think he should be celebrated or rewarded because he's doing the right thing for once in his life. You know, there's probably a slew of NFL players that haven't done anything illegal or abusive to animals or people or anything else in the world that would love to have that opportunity to be on the sidelines, but they're not getting it. But he's getting it because of his supposedly redemption. So I don't agree with it. I don't think he should. You can forgive, but you never forget.
Yeah, you're not the only person saying that. Terry, good morning. Thanks for the phone call. John, we can forgive, but we do not need to honor. That's another text. Let's just take another call on this. Jim, you're on WGN. We're talking about Michael Vick being the honorary captain of the Pro Bowl. It fell onto my radar this morning, by the way, because Steve Dale, our pet show host on weekends, sent me a message and said he's been speaking out about this, getting a lot of buzz, and Steve Dale is not on board honoring Michael Vick. Jim, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Well, if you're going to forgive Michael Vick, why not forgive Pete Rose? All Pete did is play some bets.
Different leagues, but yeah, if you had to prioritize the sins, Michael Vick's is a lot worse than Pete Rose's, that's for sure.
Exactly. All he did was place a few bets. He didn't hurt anybody.
Thanks for the phone call. I think one of Pete Rose's biggest problems was he was obnoxious. He was not that well liked. That doesn't help when you're trying to win over public support, says me. Now, we'll make that our news click at WGNradio.com. We'll ask you where you are on this. Our Bright Side of Life segment is 1 hour from now. You know, we did this on the afternoon show and every shift I've ever been on here, and for that matter, in Minnesota when I was on the radio up there. Folks call in. They tell us some good news in their world, why they're smiling. It could be something large or small, and if you don't have anything on the top of your mind, that's your assignment between now and 11:30. Cogitate on your world, come up with something positive, and let's share that or listen to others. There's only one rule for the Bright Side segment. I should make sure everybody knows that. The rule for the Bright Side is we don't judge other people's happiness. So if Michael Vick being honored gives you happiness, then I'm going to honor your happiness. I don't want to blow out your candle, whatever lit it. Anyway, The Bright Side of Life will come your way around 11:35 or 11:40. Join us in an hour here on WGN. It's 11:38. The Today Show had a very funny and kind of surprising story that we'll talk about in the 11 o'clock hour as well. A bus pulled over and the fire hazmat crews boarded because there was a chemical smell. There was some sort of obnoxious fumes that were overwhelming the students. Actually, I'll finish the story right now. Steve, did you see the story? Our old producer, Tracy Van Heuvelman.
I don't think I know this one.
Sent it to me. So the cops, this is in Florida. And the police are there. The kids are getting off. They're gasping and wheezing. And they determined that the cause of the fumes that was so troubling that they pulled over and evacuated the bus was Axe body spray.
Now, that makes perfect sense to me.
Which took me back to my very first bottle of Old Spice.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one that I think I first dabbled on.
If you cupped your hand just right, you can get a full quarter cup in your on your palm before you put it on.
You do this. And
right.
Then not that you've ever shaved and won't for years, but you were kind of doing this, kind of patting yourself around. And once you had a good sort of smog of that stuff, then you got yourself to school and you knew the girls would love that. So that's what's happening with the Axe body spray on the bus in Florida. And it just takes me back to my first experiments with that sort of thing. That's the one I remember. I had a couple of other bottles. My mom was an Avon lady, so we had some of that stuff, too. But that's the
story. Well, did you have your own? I don't know if I had my own or...
Or you stole your dad's, right?
Yeah.
Right. There was a green bottle, too, that
Brute
I had.
Brute was big.
That's the one! That's the one!
Maybe I did have some Brute.
And it's funny because you're wearing something called Brute when your voice sounds like this. Brute! I'm a Brute. Hey, ladies, you want to get a little Brute action? Check out this.
Is that Brute you're wearing?
All 98 pounds of me.
And soak your puka shell necklace in it.
Brute was what Macaulay Culkin put on his face.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Made perfect sense. All right, 1041 WGN. We talked about this earlier. I just want to get the math straight on this now. Your dog is how old? There's a new calculation and the researchers that have come up with it. It makes sense after this. 1045. Last text about Michael Vick. We have pages of them. John, that's BS to excuse Michael Vick that he was just doing what he saw while he was growing up. Good grief. He has serious psychiatric issues, which allowed him to do this. 708 said, Wayne Gacy, Gary Dahmer started out abusing and killing animals. They went on to people. Hell no to the Pro Bowl for Michael Vick. 630 said, and he pleaded to get a dog for his kids. By the way, he is a dog owner today. 815 said, just thinking about what he did back in the day, it still brings tears to my eyes. He should still be forgiven. I guess it's up to each individual, but a lot of you are saying forgive him, but don't honor him. That's the difference. He's getting the honor from the NFL this year. Speaking of our pets, so there's new research out, and it says, okay, don't multiply your dog's age by 7 to get the dog's age in human years. Trey Eidecker is a professor of genetics at the University of California at San Diego. He and others have published research about how to calculate your dog's age. Hi, Trey. It's John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm doing well, John.
I appreciate you joining us. Let's just cut to the math on this. You guys say rather than 7 times the year, it's 30 the first year. When your dog hits its 12th month, he's about in our lifespan, about the age of 30. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wow. So the dog ages more quickly than we might imagine in the first year, but then it slows down. What would the dog's age typically be in the second year of life?
I'd have to check the chart, John, but it starts to plateau, and we're saying nothing about the overall lifespan of the dog. People know how long dogs live. What the molecular measurements we've made provide some insight into is you know, how fast or slow the aging process happens over the course of life. And so if you go a little faster at the beginning, then that means necessarily you'll go a little slower at the end.
I did pull up the chart. So at age 2, it's 42. At age 3, 47. At age 4, 53. At age 8, 64, which sounds like 8 times 8, but that's not really how you got there. I think a big
take, right.
a big takeaway for me is that obviously when the dog's older, the dog's older. But when the dog's relatively young, it's already, by human comparison, middle-aged. At the age of four, a dog, according to your calculations, would be the human equivalent of 53, correct?
That's correct. That's what the molecular measurements tell us of the dog's DNA.
And does that, I think I know what that means. That is, this is how the dog is aging. If the molecular development akin to a human's development is the same as 53, I know what it feels like to be 53. So my dog is going through some of the same sorts of feelings, if you will.
That's right, and maybe the more optimistic way to look at it is a 53-year-old person is more like a, what did you say, 3 to 4 year old dog.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll do it that way.
Right.
So when I'm if you're in your mid 50s, yeah. Go, hey, I'm a puppy. According to some of us.
Exactly.
And then I guess another question about that is then, does that affect how I should feed the dog, care for the dog, exercise the dog, stuff like that?
Well, it's early days to make those kind of prescriptive recommendations based on this one readout. What we should really think about now is this is a new line of evidence for how we should be tracking age. It's not, of course, the only sign of aging. We have, you know, this now accompanies things like gray hairs and wrinkles. This particular measurement is exciting because it's literally a wrinkle on the genome. It's looking at the molecular changes inside of your cells, you know, as opposed to the so-called physiological changes that we can see. But somehow all of these changes are what we like to think of as aging.
Yeah, right. But that's I don't want to drill down too deeply into the molecular stuff that you guys looked at. But I guess where I could look at wrinkles and gray hair in myself or my pet and then judge their age, really, age is probably more a function of your molecular being. That is, how is your body doing? And you're saying in that first year, a dog zips through our equivalent of 30 years.
That's right, and whether it's better or worse a measurement, it's certainly more quantitative. Our estimates are based on hundreds to thousands of changes that are measured at the molecular level, in a very numerical way. Now, people have been quite surprised that dogs age so quickly according to their molecular changes. And one way to be not so surprised at that quick aging for you know, a 1 to 2 year old dog is if you think about the physiology again, things you can see and notice about dogs, we already knew that it couldn't be one dog year equals 7 human years. For instance, dogs hit puberty and, in fact, are reproductively mature far within below 1 year.
Right.
9-month-old dogs can have puppies. And certainly, if you do the math times 7, that's not happening in humans.
Yeah, right. Right. That's an interesting point. I just want to go over the chart again. 1 equals 30, 2 equals 42, 3 equals 47, 4 is 53. If your dog is 5, it's the equivalent of 56. If your dog is 6, the equivalent of 59. 7 is 62, and 8 is 64. So look at that. Between 7 and 8, the dog's equivalent aging is only 2 years. So I don't know what I'd rather be. Maybe the dog's life is better because I'd rather be 30 than 50, but if for a long time after 50, I don't molecularly age much, I still sort of feel and am the same. I guess that explains why some dogs can be pretty rambunctious for a very long time, too, right?
Oh, it could. it's certainly true that as you said, one optimistic way to look at these results is your dog is not aging very much, according to this particular measurement, once they're past their midlife.
Do you think this is the same for all breeds?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And that, of course, you are designing the next experiments one would like to do. We do not know.
This research was done on what kind of dogs? Did I read Labradors?
Labrador Retrievers, about 100 labs.
Yeah, right. And that's where you, I guess, took some of their tissue and, you know, looked at the molecular composition of it, huh?
That's right. We took blood samples.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
another line of future work would be, could you measure such things more easily? I mean, blood's relatively easy to measure. Of course, you have to prick a dog, and no one likes that. Dogs slobber a lot. Could you gather such measurements from the DNA that are in saliva? And chance, it looks like you probably can.
Are you saying anything, Trey, about the age of dogs, that is, their lifespan?
Nothing. This is just tracking how aging is experienced by dogs and people over the lifespan of the animal.
Okay, so 1 equals 30. That's the headline for me. 8 equals 64, according to Trey. I just lost your last name. Is it Weidecker?
Eidecker.
And it wasn't just you that did this research, by the way. It was a professor at the University of California, Davis, Danica Banish. There were folks at the Sanford Burnham Priebus Research Institute, the National Human Genome Research Institute in Washington, D.C., and other professors who provided their dogs for the study. So it was a collaborative effort. In fact, I haven't seen it published that widely, but people can find out about this, right?
That's right. Our study just went online a few weeks ago on a pre-publication website known as BioArchive, which is a new movement in science, it turns out. So the paper is formally under review as we speak, but as you know already, it's gotten quite a bit of interest as we know, people care about their dog's age.
By the way, people are texting in, hey, John, my dog's 15 and it's small. What about my 18-year-old dog? Do you have any numbers for me on the very high end? Because it seems to me like then you're saying dogs live to be the human equivalent of 150. It must just crawl at the end of a 18-year-old dog's life then, right?
It basically meets at the end of life of a dog and a human. So if the 1 to 7 adage does work for the overall lifespan. In fact, the 1 to 7, no one knows where the 1 to 7 ratio came from, but probably it's just the fact that humans live until the mid 80s, and dogs live to be about 12 or so, and so that is about a 7 to 1 ratio. And the curves that we draw from the molecular measurement do in fact meet right around then. You'll find that a 12-year-old dog and a mid 80-year-old human are around the same.
Right, and then
One thing I would advise your listeners to do is, there are two dog calculators that I'm aware of that have been put online based on the equation in our paper. One is by a Science magazine. So if you Google dog age calculator and Science magazine, you'll find it. And the other one, I believe, is by Smithsonian magazine.
So then after 12, you say a dog really is on the other side of the curve. An 18-year-old dog is the equivalent of that 103-year-old person that you read about once in a while, correct?
That would be right.
Wow. Trey Eidecker, very interesting. Thanks for your research, and let's talk again when the paper gets published. I appreciate your help today.
My pleasure, John.
Hey, there's some happy holiday music. 1108 WGN. John Williams here with this quick holiday reminder. Our Salvation Army virtual kettle. Have you made your donation yet? We've been telling Salvation Army stories for the last month or so, since about Thanksgiving time. Once a week, one of our friends from the Army or maybe one of their clients come in and they talk about the work they do or the lives that they've turned around. And it's just been positively uplifting. And even for me, a person who's talked about the Salvation Army for a long time, I didn't realize the breadth of it. The prison reformation program, guys that get out of jail, maybe gals too. They live in a halfway house. They actually have an opportunity to get up to speed on marketable skills, resume writing, and find out what's out there before they fall back into a life of crime. The Army has a program like that. Human trafficking. There's too much of that in the world, and it's in Chicago too. And there's a program to help those mostly women get out of the business of being the objects of human trafficking, to say nothing of the thing that you might think about them for, and that is maybe meals to the homeless, driving a canteen around to viaducts at night and serving people, alcohol and drug rehabilitation programs. Anyway, the Salvation Army programs are endless. And we're going to help them raise some money to do the good that they do all year long, especially on Wednesday. Wednesday is going to be a big day for us. I hope you're listening to the show Wednesday. We'll tell some stories, play some songs, have some fun, do some giveaways. Wednesday, we'll celebrate with the Salvation Army, and hopefully we'll hit our $35,000 goal. Go to WGNRadio.com right now on the John Williams page. You can make your donation if that's more convenient for you. By the way, I have a $100 gift card to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. Celebrate New Year's Eve with a burlesque flair at Four Winds Casino, featuring live entertainment, great dining, party favors, a chance to win $115,000, new innings, new beginnings, and the best New Year's Eve event at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, your entertainment escape. I've got that $100 gift card for you right now. Head on over on us. Be caller number 15 at 312-981-7200. Nellif will set you up. You want to go? 312-981-7200. You can call right now. Our news click is asking you about Michael Vick, honorary captain of the Pro Bowl in the NFL this year. It was over 10 years ago that he was convicted of dogfighting and gambling charges, animal abuse. He served a year and a half in jail, got out, played more in the NFL, made himself another $100 million. He's an advocate for animal rights. But does that do enough for you to make him an honorary captain, for the NFL to stamp their seal of approval on him? We've talked about a lot of things this week. I think that's the one that's gotten the biggest response. Boy, you do something to a dog, and people lose their minds. As they should, perhaps, but I'm just always amazed. I'm always amazed at the sort of personal hierarchies we have for tolerance.
Look, dogs are people, too.
Somewhere, Greta Thunberg is saying, how about a little love for me? Karen, you're on WGN Radio. How are you, Karen? You're on the air.
I'm good. Thank you, John.
Hey, you going to go over to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo on us?
I would love to. Thank you.
Where do you live, by the way?
Tinley Park.
Oh, okay. Well, then you'll just probably head up and then over. Maybe take the Skyway. I don't know how you're going to get there, but that's what we usually do at my place.
Yeah.
Elif's got all of the details for you. Thank you for listening, Karen. Happy holidays.
Oh, you too. Thank you, Jack.
I appreciate your listening. We'll make sure that she gets that. Remember yesterday in the 11 o'clock hour, we were talking about the average media bill and the average utility bill, and that in Illinois, we are one of the lowest states. Almost everybody in the country pays more for their utilities than you do.
And they were throwing in cable into the utilities.
Which kind of made me scratch my head, because they said in Illinois, the average cable bill is $60 to $85. Wah, wah. So I got homeless.
You are so above average.
Thank you. So I got home yesterday, and Brenda goes, hey, look what we got in the mail. It was our Comcast cable bill. So it says here on the top, regular monthly charges, $218. My X1 preferred triple play, and who doesn't want a triple play, is $149. I seem to remember that. Hey, $149, all right, that's a lot, but $149 I'm in. So then how did we get to $218? Well, we have HBO and Showtime. That's on us. We might not have HBO and Showtime after today's show, by the way. Really, we had HBO because we wanted to watch Game of Thrones. This is why Netflix, I think, is continually pounding away with new programming, because you've got to keep your subscription to Netflix going. And HBO kept a lot of us on board when Game of Thrones was out there. And I know they've got some other shows, but nothing that suddenly seems so compelling to me that I want to pay $15 a month. I don't think I'm getting $15 a month out of them. And then my Showtime is $12. Toodles. Steve, it says that my DVR service is $10.
Is that per TV or?
Any room DVR service, but I've only got one TV. Mm-hmm. So to have DVR, I pay $10 a month. If you have 500 channels and all of these premium programmings and sports, you kind of have to have DVR because you can't watch it all. Otherwise, I guarantee you, you're paying for stuff you're not going to see if you don't DVR it.
Because it's now impossible to know what shows they save on demand and which ones they don't.
Exactly. So I say, okay, yeah, we use DVR. Well, that should be woven into the regular price of the thing. That's like selling you a car and saying, yeah, but if you want a radio, if you want heaters, well, that'll cost you extra. No, that's just a function of the thing. Anyway, paying $10 for that. Then I have internet voice equipment rental. I don't even know what that is.
Play Marquette basketball.
Okay, I thought that's what that was, and maybe that is. And that's a pretty swell thing. Because, again, my basketball teams are on any one of 82 different channels. So when you're looking around, you hit guide, and that only shows you a handful of stations. You got 1,000, literally. So then you just say, play Marquette basketball. Play White Sox. And then it comes up. That's how you find your shows. That's costing me $13 a month. So there's another $23 in addition to my triple play. Then I have, this is making me scratch my head, a service fee. My broadcast TV fee is $10. Broadcast TV fee. Broadcast TV is free TV. That's Channel 9 sending a signal out over the air, and you don't have to pay for that. But you do if your cable gives it to you. $10. How is that not part of my $149 triple to pay package? How is that not part of the thing? Regional sports fee, $8.25. Next page. I'm not even done yet. And then this is not a, this isn't my cable company's fault, but I have taxes, fees, and other charges. That's $35. So when you say, how does your bill get so high? Well, you got a franchise fee of $8, the public education and government fee of $1.55, the maintenance fee is 15 cents.
What does that mean? They clean up after you? You leave your popcorn bowl out?
That's the one fee I really don't mind. Maintenance fee, 15 cents. I don't even know what it is. I'm good with it. Federal Universal Service Fund. Now they're just making up words. $1.44. Regulatory cost recovery.
That infomercial from Sally Struthers.
$1.07. I'm not even on taxes. That was just fees, because somehow taxes and fees are different. Then the rental tax is $1.17, and my state and local tax is $4.28. So that gets me to $218 plus all of that. I think it's like 11 dejillion. I know.
So really, $218 plus all those fees, right?
Yeah.
So that is getting...
I'm under 300, I'm proud to say.
Yeah, but that's getting close to what they say our total
utility bill is. Yeah, I know. So that maybe people in other states have the same conundrum I do. They say it's $60 to $80. Maybe a lot of you aren't doing what I just described. But as I'm doing that, that pushes my utility bill way over the state average. I mean, my media bill is about what the utility bill should be. 1121 on WGN, the Bright Side of Life segment. You call in, tell us some good news in your world. We can always use the bright side. We'll do that in about 20 minutes. John, cord cutting, $60 a month, cable with Sling. I'm going to read some text messages, and I know all of these things are true, but there's this part of the world right now that I know is going on, and I know if I were smarter or spent more time working on it, that I too would be saving money or feel more empowered, that I would be smarter. But I just haven't taken the time or invested the mental energy to figure it out. And that is all of the ways to consume TV or TV programming. And it's bewildering.
Just keep buying stuff. I'll buy this, I'll buy that.
I know. That's what I've done. So now I've got this sort of this raft of services and fees and products and things. And I know that if I just used some of the words I'm about to read, I would lower the bill. But I don't even know what they mean. John, cut the cord. $60 a month. Cable with Sling. 847. The regional sports fee on your bill is the big problem I have, John. If I want to watch Bravo, I'm stuck paying the $8 regional sports fee because that's the only way you can get Bravo. It's in that package. 630, what's the TV broadcast and sports fee? There's a lawsuit in California about this. Google that fee. It's TV over the air. If you want to get that on your cable, if you want to watch Channel 9, 52, 732, then you need to pay, I guess, that $10.
Well, you have to somehow, right? Because they're not broadcast over the air anymore. I mean, yeah, they're digitally broadcast.
Yeah.
So... The rabbit ears doesn't work.
And I don't have rabbit ears. I've just got a cable. And I love me some cable. So that comes into my house, and they're giving me these broadcast television stations. I'll put it this way. If I felt that for them to somehow do that, get Channel 9 and put it on my cable, that cost them $10, I'd be happy with it. But I don't think that, I think it's, you know, buttons and electricity, and I don't think it's $10.
Well, they're probably paying the TV stations,
well,
right?
Fair enough, right. So there's probably a rights fee. So thank you for that idea. I'll put that in the back. John, I have an antenna. I pay $99 a year for Amazon Prime, and Netflix is free through my military discounted T-Mobile, $80 a month for two lines. I get thousands of movies and shows between the two streaming devices that would be $17 a month if I had to pay for both. Signed, Sven. I know that there's ways that you can get some a lot of programming and save a lot of money, but I want the programming I want. I don't want just programming. I don't want 1,000 options. I want about 20 options. I want my Fox Sports and ESPN packages because I want to watch my games.
And you don't want there for one day to ever in the future be a single solitary show that you want to see that you can't because you've cut
right.
the cord.
Well, that's it. And so then if I don't have HBO, I don't know, maybe I can get it. But you're right. There's a lot of things that I specifically want, and that's why I've got this raft of stuff. That's why I have the package on Comcast that I do, because some of the sports programming I want isn't in my first tier. So then I got to go up to the next one.
Maybe you should get rid of the sports programming. It really doesn't bring you joy. It only brings you anxiety.
You are correct about that.
So let's do that together.
Yeah, you and me, we're going to... I'll cut your cord if you'll cut mine. By the way, there was another one I wanted to read. Now it's John. I pay $105 for internet and streaming TV from Comcast. Needed to buy a Roku, but it beats the heck out of those other fees. About my mentioning the Salvation Army, John, because of your Salvation Army stories this month, I made my Christmas donation to our local Salvation Army store here in Michigan. Good for you. 224, thank you for supporting the Salvation Army. My grandparents were officers, so the Army has a special place in my heart. And about our news click and Michael Vick getting that nod from the NFL, 217, hi, John. Dogs are defenseless animals, and that's why we get so outraged, because they are defenseless. Thank you, signed Becky. 630, I want a $60 cable bill. Mine's $180, and I have no premium channels. And on the text messages go. A couple of callers and texters said, if you don't like your cable bill, literally just go to the store and tell them you want them to lower it. And often they will or do, especially if you say, well, then in that case, I'm going to cancel a service or pull the plug. And then you get their attention. This holiday, you can give the gift of luxury by inviting your family or friends to join you on a cruise next October. My wife, Brenda, and I are going to do this amazing trip on the Regent Splendor next October. I'm saying you can put the gift of luxury under the tree right now. Kelly Cruises is wrapping up the 5-star Regent Splendor in an all-inclusive trip. We're going to go to the ruins of Athens and Ephesus, the colorful splendor of Santorini, the spectacular markets and ancient cities of Croatia. Then we cruise to storied Venice and spend 2 nights there. It's a wonderful itinerary. The food, the beverages, the excursions, the tips, every single thing is included. You go on some cruises, they're not so relaxing because then every time you get a soda or you get off the boat to do something, you incur a charge. On this, everything is included. You literally don't need 10 cents when you get off the boat. In fact, they've got a ship credit for you to spend in their store. This is the way to cruise. Okay, so how do you do that? Call Kelly Cruises, 630-990-1111. Let them give you the details. You could have this for Christmas and then enjoy the thought of it all next year. That's what I'm doing. We're going to sail in October, or visit kellycruises.com. Right now, kellycruises.com. I know. Lots of calls, and a friend of ours just strolled into the studio, The Bright Side, in the next half hour, too. We're about 10 minutes away from The Bright Side of Life segment we always do on Fridays, now at a new time. Hey, Jack, you're on WGN Radio. What can I do for you? This is John.
Are you calling for Jack?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for having me on, and I'm so glad you're back in Chicago.
Thank you.
I just wanted to straighten something out. Steve said earlier about, you know, you can't get over-the-air channel anymore and stuff like that because it's digital. Those 1950 rabbit ears of his work just fine. All you got to do is hook it up to your antenna part of your TV and auto-program it, and you can get 2579. As a matter of fact, you'll get 30-plus stations in the Chicagoland area. just my 1950s antenna.
Do you have to go and touch the antenna when you want a better picture?
You know, surprisingly, with the digital, no.
You,
now, one of the things you'll find out is Channel 9 is not really on Channel 9.
Wait a minute.
It's on Channel 19.
You don't get digital TV over the airwaves, do you, on your rabbit ears, on your old-fashioned antennas?
Your old-fashioned 1950s antenna, nah. You get digital picture, and it's better than cable, actually.
You woke up this morning and decided to call in and lie to us on the radio.
Well, I got a 1950s antenna where I live, and I figured I'm just fine.
So that's working.
Here's
for you. You, get,
thing
like...
for you, too. You talked about the regional sports franchise earlier. Dish Network, which also owns Sling, has totally gotten rid of all the regional sports networks. Now, they still got ESPN and all that, but they've gotten rid of NBC Sports Chicago. They're not going to carry the marquee clear across the country. They've gotten rid of the regional sports networks to cut down and lower the bill.
I don't think Marquee has a bill yet or a deal with Comcast or Comcast with Marquee. You know, the Cubs.
No, the only one. The
season's
only one
4 months away.
DirecTV.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the phone call.
No problem. Go get Steve and get that rabbit ears going.
Yeah. I'll do it.
Yeah. I'm shocked to hear that, although my Saturday producer, Griffin, just strolled into the studio with our friend Mark Baser, and Griff was nodding his head. Is that right? I didn't think that was true.
Yeah, you can use an antenna to watch TV.
Yeah, but I did.
What, I have
what
that.
Part of that don't you understand?
No, he's
John?
Totally right.
I thought digital TV, when they made the switch, your old antenna wasn't going to work anymore.
No, actually, a friend of mine just explained this to another friend of mine who was had problems with her internet connection and how that was messing with her TV. And he was like, well, in addition to whatever else you want, you could just do the antenna and... She didn't even know what that meant.
She didn't know what an antenna
was.
But
it is like kind of the way that we're cycling through TV options and getting back to something that's been there for so long.
Isn't that funny? I'm going to get a rotary phone, too, with a landline.
We have an antenna. One of my kids has to stand at a certain corner of the room when we watch TV. But
this is a generational thing, but that's something, say, Griff, your generation, Elif, your generation, you guys don't know. But once upon a time, you would put flags of aluminum foil on the ends of your antennas, somehow thinking that gave it greater capacity. I don't know if that was ever true or not, but I do know this. If we were sitting there watching the Flintstones, and it was fuzzy, and my sister Mary would go over and hold the antenna with her hand, the picture was better. Now,
absolutely.
She couldn't see the TV very well. She would have to kind of crane her neck to look around. But she was the youngest of the four kids, so Mary was the human antenna a lot. Incidentally, the radiation caused her to turn kind of a blue. Just making that last part up, but the rest of it is 100% true. And I don't know what the science on that was, but that's the way we used to watch TV a lot.
If she were to get up on the roof, it would have been even better.
This is true. Scott has the way to reduce the bill for us. Scott, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, John, I think I heard you talking about a voice rental fee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like it's your modem rental fee. That $13 fee is you're renting a modem.
Oh, yeah.
And you could go to Best Buy and buy one for like $100.
Yeah.
And so then you've paid for it in 10 months.
Yeah, that's. I think I've got to do that. I've got to have Brenda do that. I've got to get somebody
and
to
then
do
also,
that.
What's your issue?
But also, if you call them to cancel, they'll send you to the cancellation part, then they'll lower your price. If worst comes to worst and they don't, you can also cancel it for a couple of days when you're going on one of your trips, reinstall it, recall them, and they'll give you on a new lower contract for 2 years.
Wow. Hey, I appreciate the help on all of this. Scott, you're smarter than me. Thanks for the call.
John, have you talked about YouTube TV yet?
Say it again.
YouTube TV? That's what I have.
I'm familiar with it.
It's great.
I don't...
It's great. It's $40 a month.
It shouldn't be this hard to watch television.
It's not.
It's too many things to think about and know. Do you know a friend of mine here, Mike, in our production side? He does this. He's explained his strategy to me. Here's how he's lowering his cable media costs. Every 2 months, he cancels Netflix, has it off for 2 months, and then signs up for Netflix. So he pays for Netflix 6 months a year. He's cut his bill in half, and he gets it 2 months on, 2 months off. And he said when he gets it back on, everything he missed, he can still pretty much get. It saves your save shows for 6 months. And so while he has to go on hiatus for a while, he's decided that that's satisfactory to him. Okay, that's a lot of work to me. I mean, I'm not capable of that, but that's evidently functional for him.
I have 35 credit cards, and I just
exactly rotate them.
90 usernames.
The credit card millionaire, Mark Baser, is in our studio. Mark was just swinging through the studios. He was doing some work here, but I know that you're...
Speaking of regular TV, the broadcast TV...
The interview show... With Mark Baser.
With Mark Baser.
Is that new?
It is, and that's not... I joked off air that I added it for ego's sake, but it's not. It was added by WTTW for listing purposes.
Yeah, because does somebody else own the name, the interview show?
No, I have the copyright on it.
Julia Sweeney is delightful.
Yeah, she's great.
She doesn't live in Chicago, though, right?
She did, and then I think she just moved to L.A., but she lived in, like, the North Shore for a while.
Just before she left, she was on our show from the Broadcast Museum when we broadcast over there. The Saturday Night Live exhibit had just opened up. So there were some SNL stars coming through, and christening it, we were doing our shows from there, and I got a chance to visit with Julia Sweeney about her career and that show Pat. She did a Broadway or an off-Broadway show about that phenomenon too,
and
was delightful.
The episode itself that we, the work in progress episode, and what we talk about on the show a little bit is how Pat, the character of Pat, really kind of was a bad part of Abby McEnany's life because people would call her Pat derisively.
Wait a minute. Abby McEnany.
Abby McEnany is the star of the show Work in Progress.
How does she relate to this?
She's on my show. She's the first guest on my
show. Yeah, but I mean, what does she care about?
She's a lesbian who looks
androgynous.
Hair,
yeah.
She has short hair and she talks about this in her show. She's overweight. And back in the 90s, I guess when Pat was on SNL, that was something that people would use to make fun of her. And the episode has her confronting Julia Sweeney, playing Julia Sweeney. And Julia Sweeney, I don't know what you guys talked about, but I believe now feels a great degree of regret over the character because of... You know, look at it's mean. It's a mean.
I know
character.
That she was conflicted about it, but I don't know that she said that to us. Maybe her feelings have changed these days. She did tell us that the Pat character, whose gender you weren't able to identify, that was the comedy of it, was based on a real person that she really knew. And she talked about how she based it on that person. And then later, after the thing had become a hit, bumped into that person again.
Wow.
And the person didn't know.
Yeah.
That they were the object of the...
I guess that's better not to know.
I guess, yeah, right.
But I don't know. It's interesting where the culture is at now. I think in many ways a kinder culture. And Abby, the character... Abby plays herself, pretty much, a character named Abby in the show. And she confronts Julia Sweeney in a Chicago restaurant. And it's actually a brilliant episode.
So is that staged or is it alive? Like, okay, let's set it... It's staged, obviously. But, I mean, this is an authentic conversation between these
two.
No,
I mean, it's scripted. It's all scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, like you said, Julia Sweeney is also... They're both. Both Abby and Julia Sweeney are two of the kindest people I've ever met.
Yeah, so. I sure enjoyed our conversation with her. Okay, so Channel 11, that's starting on Friday, January 3rd.
You can watch it with rabbit ears.
Somebody said if you're going to do that digital over-the-airs thing with the antenna, you do need a digital converter. I'm just reading text messages here. I have no idea what this all means. Mark, it's nice to see you.
Thanks for having me on.
Mark bumps into our show every now and then. Before he does these live shows from which the interview show is recorded and then cut for TV, the interview show, is it still going to be at the Hideout? Are you going to be doing more of those?
Yeah, we got another one January 10th.
You just had on, who was
we had Jeff Tweedy.
How about that?
He was so good. He told
last Friday
a super funny, but also super sad story at the same time, which I won't. It'll be on our third episode. So
okay. Well, let's catch up then. Nice to see you, Mark Baser. Griff, nice of you to pop in too. We'll talk to Griff on Saturdays where I
Griffin's
live on
a producer
weekends.
On our show, just so I can get that out. He helps with the show.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
He's a good producer. Elif is too. And she said, John, if you don't take a break, you won't have time for The Bright Side. Call right now, 312-981-7200, or text right now, 312-981-7200. Get ready to whistle now.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
We're handing out pins, too.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
Bright Side of Life pins.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
Thanks to our friends from the Joint Relief Institute. They bought us some pins to give to you.
Whistle, help things turn out for the
call or text 312-981.
Oh. always look on the bright side of life.
That's 981-7200.
Always look on the light side of life.
All right, let's go. Jack, you're the first call this morning, or rather Patrick. Patrick, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Pat? How are you?
Good, buddy. Hey, me and my wife Gina are going to see our niece Sophia. She's going to be the lead in the Nutcracker play tomorrow.
Oh, no kidding. Where? Which one?
It's up. It's a local local dance theater up in the north suburbs in a high school.
I can see you now in the front row just beaming, Patrick.
We will be.
Have a great day. Let's go to Tyler. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Tyler? You're on the air.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, man.
Today, my wife, Judy, and I are celebrating our daughter Gianna's 16th birthday.
Oh, nice.
So you know what that means? We're going to have to go to the driving place to get her license.
Get a license. Get a car.
Hey, one thing at a time.
Hey, but by the way, that's a good thing, right? Like, you're really excited about this because now you don't have to drive her around or worry about it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Happy days, Tyler. Congrats.
Thank you.
By the way, Steve Bertrand, you got a bright side you want to share with the whole class?
Well, my son was coming home from college today after finals for a long break, but we've been texting all morning. He's put it off till tomorrow.
He's not that. You know, Steve, that should be your bright side. When they keep you at arm's distance, right. That means you're doing it right. They're happy,
I
right?
said, I miss you, and he said, I miss you, too. We'll see you on Saturday. Look on the
bright side. Hey, Susie, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Hi. My son, it was just announced yesterday that his TV show called Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beast will be premiering January 14th on Netflix.
Hokey smokes!
They have 30 episodes, but 10 per season. And they announced the cast yesterday because I wasn't allowed to say anything for a year and a half, but... The cast is a stellar voiceover cast. It's a beautiful animation. He did the writing with a partner who did the animation. And it's a very, very... I love the show. I only saw parts of it, of course. But Sterling K. Brown is one of the voices. Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey is one of the voices.
Okay, hold on, Susie. Yeah. Wait. Susie, what is the name of the show again?
Kipo, K-I-P-O, and the Age of Wonder Beast.
And when is this going to be on Netflix?
January 14th.
Okay, let's make sure that we get them some Bright Side of Life pins. Maybe they'll make a cameo or something like that. But will you take a Bright Side of Life pin from us?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks Susie. Wow, congratulations. Hold on, talk to Ella. That's kind of fun. Hey, Lynn, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Lynn? You're on the air.
Because today is my 73rd birthday, John, and at the end of the month, on the 27th of December, my husband and I will be celebrating 50 years of wedded bliss.
Well done, Lynn. Thanks for the call. Allie, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Allie? You're on the air.
I just got back from Maui, from visiting my son and his wife and my granddaughter, and we had the best of time. We went to the beach, and Matthew is a kiter, and I worked at their house that they're just finishing building. I mean, it's just, I'm still soaring high from being there for a visit.
They live in Maui?
Yeah, they do. They've been there 4.5 years, and you know what? As much as I'm sad that they're that far away, I am happy for them because they're so happy there.
That's all you can ask for, right?
Oh, my God. When your kids are happy, you're happy.
We had a saying in my house, Mama's as happy as her unhappiest child. Allie, I'm going to get you a Bright Side of Life pin, okay?
Woo-hoo!
312-981-7200. That's Allie on line 2, producer Elif. And Laura's next. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Laura?
Good morning, John. I am smiling because on Monday I am going to Midway Airport and going to pick up my son from Seattle. He is in the U.S. Army, and he will be home for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, thank him for our service. You've done something right there. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Well, hey, Laura, I do have a Bright Side of Life pin for you, too, okay? Let me get you one for you and one for your son, okay?
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
There's something you forgot. At 11:54 WGN. This is what we do on Fridays. You call in, tell us some good news in your world. Tell us why you're smiling, and we will smile with you. Oh, maybe time for one more, says Elif. Okay. Ed, you're on WGN. Give me some good news, Ed. Why are you smiling?
Yeah, hi, John. Thank you very much for taking the call. I'm just calling because I'm 64 year old, and I developed breast cancer, and I just had my first treatment, and the results look encouraging, and I'm looking forward to my second treatment. So I'm blessed to be able to do that.
That's the glass is half full. That's why we do this, Ed. I'm so happy for you. I'm sorry about the news, but you go, boy. You're going to be just fine.
Yep. Yeah, thank you so much, John.
Ah, boy, Ed. We like you sharing. Fridays, remember, a little after 11:40, till about now, you give us some good news. It's called The Bright Side. Okay, remember now, we are back on Monday from 9 to noon, and Wednesday's a big show here on WGN on The John Williams Show. It'll be our holiday hoo-ha for the Salvation Army. We'll tell some stories, sing some songs, have some fun, and see if we can't hit that $35,000 goal about this time next Wednesday. I don't know what your weekly routine is, but I sure hope you can be part of that broadcast and make a donation then or make it right now. All you got to do is go to WGNradio.com on the John Williams page. It's real easy to find our Salvation Army link. You can make your donation there. Our news click at WGNradio.com is about a topic that got scores, pages and pages and pages. Producer Ella prints out the text messages, and it's Michael Vick, the National Football League, at their, and who cares about the Pro Bowl, but he's the honorary captain for one of the teams.
This is the most Pro Bowl talk that's ever had been.
I've always loved the Pro Bowl, Steve. Right. You know, folks call me all the time and go, boy, if you could do more Pro Bowl talk. But what's bugging people is that they're going to, you know, honor him with that captainship, and people are still upset about his dog convictions. So, yes or no on that. You can vote with your mouse at WGNradio.com. G, you don't have to offer an opinion about that if you don't want to. But I don't like any of it. I am saying yes to letting him be a captain.
Fascinating discussion. I don't know if you had a chance to see the Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. They just did a story on him and revisited some of the dogs that were actually rescued from that
from
situation.
His fighting kennel or whatever.
They were able to rehabilitate the dogs.
So what was the attitude of the piece? Was it sort of redeeming for Michael Vick, or was it critical, or was it in between?
It was less about him and more about the ability for pit bulls to be rehabilitated.
Oh, really?
Because there was this belief before that if they were in such horrific situations where they were bred 24/7 for that type of dog fighting, that they would not be able to. They were usually euthanized, but...
Boy, that's a measure of confidence and courage to the people that say, I'm going to take a chance on
absolutely.
That dog. What are you doing on your show today?
Well, we're going to be talking about Trump and China. They just announced phase one of the trade deal, what that might mean for us locally. We've got Crane's reporters and experts on. And also, I'm really excited to talk with an owner of the local market, which is going to be in the South Shore. As you know, after the South Shore neighborhood, as you know, 6 years after Dominick's closed, they're finally getting a grocery store.
That was one of the food deserts that has now been restored. We now have a place for, imagine that, hooray, they get a place to shop locally for food. Good story. Have a good show. Have a good weekend.
Happy Friday.